We are really excited today to be talking with Kim Ursish and Liz Ehrlich, and they own Equine Elixirs, which is an amazing company, which we're going to talk about a little bit later. But even more exciting, perhaps, in terms of ladies who launch, both of them are sisters, and they're running this company in a really unique, I think, and interesting way. So we wanted to talk with you today and talk about all that. But so thanks for spending some time with us.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's good to have you for sure. Now, have you heard about the two Olympians, the soccer sisters, they're calling them from America? Have you heard about them?
But I don't know anything about soccer.
Okay, well, neither do I, but I was interested in the sisters because it's the first time in Olympic history that any team has had two sisters on it that have worked quite this way. And basically, they were raised playing soccer. One sister's 2 years older than the other, and the younger sister was constantly pushing to try to be as good as the older, and the older one was going her new and interesting equal ways. And we've actually, as in my other job as head of Blue Shoes Strategy, we've worked with both Liz and with Kim so excitedly because the way that the dynamics of the two of you are something for all women in business to take a look at. So the first thing I want to talk about is you used to ride together. Now you do supplements for horses so that they can perform at their best. But when you were young, you rode together. Is that correct?
Yes.
But what shocked me, and I think our listeners are going to find really interesting, is if one of you was riding, the other one was the groom, and vice versa. How did that work? Kim, how did that work with you and your sister?
So we rode together every day, and we would show on the weekends together. And when we were, you know, in the same classes, we started to compete with each other, naturally, as you would do. You're competing with everybody. So our parents noticed that pretty early on, that dynamic could be improved. So they had us alternate days showing and being groomed. So one of us would show on Saturday and be the other's groom at alternating shows. So we very quickly aligned to be on the same team, and we would help each other with the courses and with all the things that go on at a show, holding each other's horses, getting each other grilled cheese and iced tea. And we learned how to be a team. And that was the beginning and end of any competition between the two of us and the best relationship you could ever have in your life.
Right. Well, Liz started Equine Elixirs. And basically, Liz, walk us through what was the impetus. You were a lawyer, a major lawyer with a history in there that's quite a resume, including Sullivan and Cromwell. What made you say, I'm chucking all that aside and I want to go into supplements for horses?
When I started it, I can't say that I knew at that point that I would be done with the whole lawyer thing. I think at that time I thought I was going to be a lawyer in the long term. But the reason I started it was because my horse, Bella, had ulcers. We did a course of GastroGuard, which she responded very well to. And then I was on the lookout for a maintenance product to keep her comfortable going forward. And I did not find one that worked for her. And so I did a lot of research. I read a lot of studies that were done on horses and humans. And ulcers are very well understood in both people and in horses. And so I just researched the topic, and I had a very good understanding of what was necessary to prevent ulcers from coming back. And then I went in search of the natural ingredients that would allow me to accomplish that goal. So I started by experimenting with different ingredients and different ratios. And after trial and error, eventually settled on the formula that really worked. And I knew it worked because I noticed a difference in Bella within 3 days. And so that was really what started it. And then, you know, after several months, I had other people that were asking about it. They wanted to try it. I reached out to a number of the big name riders I knew from North Salem, New York, which is where Kim and I grew up riding. They tried it. They were totally blown away by how well it worked. And it was really only maybe a year and a half into it that I realized I don't think I have to be a lawyer anymore.
That's interesting. I don't think I have to be a lawyer anymore. But that's a lot of education to set aside for something like this. Now, fast forward 4 years. I think you guys started this in 2016, but fast forward 4 or 5 years, And you have numerous products, and we're not going to get into all the products in this particular podcast because it's much more about the dynamics, about how you launch, et cetera. But a couple of years later, enters Kim, who is doing marketing and consulting around e-commerce, et cetera. What made you decide, okay, I need a yin to my yang, and then we're going to talk about the dynamics of how the two of you work, which I think is, again, a lesson for every woman out there.
Well, I'm curious what Kim thinks about this. I've never actually asked her that, but I never had a plan. I never thought to myself, I need to bring Kim in to the company. I just know that as the company was growing and I found that we were in need of generating assets for social media, we needed to do marketing, we had to do design and promos, and eventually, you know, we built a website and I needed someone who understood e-commerce. I just assumed that either I was capable of it myself, which I was not, or that I could hire someone else to do it who would be capable of it, which they were not. And then Kim would periodically help me. And it got to the point where it wasn't just like, hey, Kim, can you do me this favor? What are your thoughts on this? It turned into a much more substantial, long-term, every day, I rely on Kim to do certain things. And then somewhere along the way, I think Kim and I were sitting outside having a drink at lunch one day. And we were like, do you think that like we should do this full time together? Because, you know, Kim was like, you know, you're the most demanding non-paying client I have. And I said, you think I'm demanding? And she said, yeah, and non-paying. So from there, I think we just discussed that it would become a legitimate full-time co-ownership type of thing. But I don't know if Kim remembers it differently.
That's exactly how I remember it. I even remember it was a margarita we were having outside on the beach. And we thought, maybe we really could do this. There's nothing we love more than talking to each other. We cannot get enough of it. And how fun to actually put it towards something so interesting and exciting and creative. It was just such a natural and obvious thing to do.
Well, the fact that you can do that as sisters is one thing, but one of the things that we try to do in Ladies Who Launch is to try to understand how we can be better at building our businesses. You've said a number of things to me over the past months, both of you. One of the things is you said you don't argue, you both discuss, I was going to use the word violently, totally wrong word, you both discuss vocally what your opinion is when you don't agree, but then whoever's responsible for that particular aspect has the final say, and both of you are able to let go of anything else around that. Does that go back to when you're grooming for somebody, you have no say, you have no power, you have to do what they want? You know, Kim, what do you say about that?
I think it's as straightforward as I have such enormous respect for Liz that if she were to feel strongly on a particular decision, I would easily back down after presenting my point of view if she were to determine that my point of view wasn't the same as hers. And vice versa, I think she would probably say the same thing. We both have our subject matters that we're most comfortable with. And so we know before we start any topic of conversation, ultimately, you know, which way the final say would go. But it so rarely happens, to be honest. We almost always completely align on everything. We usually are able to convince the other one of whichever point of view we feel strongly about.
Well, having worked with both of you, neither one of you has any problem saying we're not doing that, or we are doing that, or coming back with I don't like that, including Liz's desire to not do podcasts like this. And we're grateful, Liz, that you showed up today. But how does that work on your ego? Can you define, you know, I have a strong ego. Sometimes it gets in the way of my ability to let somebody else's opinion supersede my own. Did either one of you want to talk about that? Maybe Liz, you?
I don't actually feel like I have an ego. I think part of what, okay, so I was going to completely agree with what Kim said. The first word that came to my mind was respect, which is why when it comes to certain subject matters where we're willing to really defer to the other one, it's out of respect because we recognize that the other one is more of an expert in a certain area, and trust and respect. So if Kim wants to do something a certain way and I disagree, but I know that it's an area where she has more expertise, the amount of trust and respect I have for her is enough to let me be hands off. And I believe that she'll take us in the right direction. I don't feel that I have much of an ego. I would actually say that one of the things that I think that is my and her very strong personality characteristics is the ability to admit if we are wrong about something, or if we do not know the answer to something, or if we need to defer to somebody else who would be better at something. And I don't feel that that in any way lessens my capability when it comes to the things that I'm good at. So it's not a struggle, or it's not difficult for me to defer to someone else in a subject matter where I'm not an expert. If anything, I think it gives more credibility to my opinion in those areas where I really do put my foot down, because I believe in those areas, I am in the best position to make a judgment call. And if I'm not the person best suited to make a judgment call about a certain topic, I want to defer to the person who is in the best position to make a judgment call. And that does not bruise my ego in any way.
Interesting. I think that's so well said. And I certainly know that it's something I aspire to, but I didn't come naturally to that. You know, I'm much older than you. And for many, many years, it was my opinion or the highway, and it did not serve me well in the long term. It really didn't. So I love to hear someone sort of explain around that. But let's talk a little bit about Equine Elixir. So in the last 5 years, you've launched how many products?
Pulse Racer, Positude, Tidbits, Kamikaze, Immunox, Electrofresh, Sudden Comfort, Crackdown. So I guess we have 8 with another one right on its heels and another one right on the heels of that. So 8 to 10.
Now, one of the things that I've noticed in working with you again, which is a bit unusual, is at Blue Shoe, we talk about not having a long-term plan, that sometimes that gets in the way of success. Okay, the products that they've launched, you have testimonials in your social media and elsewhere from the top riders in the entire country talking about how these products actually made a difference in whatever it was. And then you also creatively, though, what's so interesting is when you're looking at natural supplements for horses or for people for that matter, at least in the horse industry, it's much more like Purina. You know, we're not talking about Positude, which is my horse is going to have a positive attitude when it rides around the ring. You have gone outside the box in terms of how you've approached both naming and everything else. But at the same time, a lot of your marketing management, as I have seen it, is to make sure that people understand you're a serious business that does serious things. Do you guys talk about that? I mean, what is your approach in terms of differentiating yourself? You have not stood out and said we're two sisters running this amazing company that's growing like lightning. You haven't done that, but you have definitely not taken this strategic normal highway road. Kim, marketing-wise, were those decisions you guys made? How are you feeling about them? What is your approach to all of that?
So one of the things that I find most exciting is taking a serious product that Liz has formulated and giving it a personality and bringing it to life and making it easy to understand and easy to choose. We always say easy to use, easy to choose. And when I'm doing the marketing around a serious product, I do like to have fun with it. And I do want to give it a good personality, the kind of personality that you want to engage with. And that could be in the form of the slogan that we use for it. So it could be, you know, with Sudden Comfort, we say, you don't need luck when you have comfort. And with Positude, the marketing for it is all around like pearls and a bow tie, putting your best hoof forward, being positive. So each product will have its own personality. And even though it is a serious product, that doesn't mean we can't have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, it is a serious product, does serious things. It's been really an amazing thing to work with. And I rarely interview people for ladies who launch that I've worked with. In fact, this is the first time. And again, we're not trying to do an infomercial for the product itself, but much more setting up this company and how you guys are rolling it out. Now, one of the things Kim said to me a number of months ago is, look, I'll throw a lot of things at the wall and I don't need them all to stick, but if I like it, if it feels right, I'll try it. So I don't want you to put together a train that goes straight to the station that it's going into. give us one example, if you can, of one thing that was totally outside the box that you did that really worked.
So one of my favorite things is for our sudden comfort product, I had an idea that we were going to use a giant blow up unicorn in the marketing for it. And there are a number of reasons that I love that. The idea being that sudden comfort helps to bring out your horse's inner unicorn. And the idea that we would juxtapose those two visually in our branding and in our marketing was really exciting to me. One of the things I love most about working with Liz is that I get to do things that would never get approved by a committee. So at some of the larger companies that may be competitors to us, you know, there are pros and cons to that, but a lot of things do have to go through a committee. And we do whatever we like. And that is a real luxury. And I think that comes through in our branding because we can take a risk.
That's really, really interesting and really true. Liz, what thing did she come up with where you said, I'm not doing that. I refuse to do it. I'm not doing it. Oh my God, are you crazy? Which, by the way, if Liz felt that way, that's exactly what she would say.
I've never actually said I refuse to do something, but I have definitely pushed back and ultimately given in, starting with her unicorn. When she told me that we were using, that she wanted to use a giant blow-up unicorn, I said to her, okay, Kim, I need you to be realistic here. You think that I'm going to drive a giant unicorn around the fanciest barns in Wellington to do photo shoots with Olympians and their horses next to a blow-up unicorn? And she said, yeah, what's the problem? And I said, if my summary there didn't sound like a problem to you, I don't know that I can communicate to you why I view this as a problem. But we discussed it and she showed me the link to the blow-up unicorn. And then of course, the next thing I knew, the unicorn arrived at the warehouse and I got on board and I was like, you know what? This is a great idea. We blew up the unicorn. I sat on the unicorn. I became friends with the unicorn. I then had to partially deflate the unicorn in order to get it into the van so that we could move it around for different locations for photo shoots. And I was at a traffic light and the unicorn's head was sticking out of the passenger side window. And everybody would like drive up and honk their horn and be like, hey, nice unicorn. And I just, you know, give them the thumbs up like, thanks. Yeah.
I would have given them the finger, but okay.
Yeah. You know, with the Equine Elixirs logo all over the van, it's just a nice thumbs up.
Exactly. You know, those are great examples because you both chose the same one. And the end result is that the product's done very well. And the engagement around that particular initiative on your social media did really well. Now, the other thing is product development. We have to talk about this because one of the things that I think you guys do really well, and I know this comes more from Liz's end because she's really responsible for product development, is you come up with unique, in fact, there's a product that's going to be launching by year end, we hope, that is, it can't be discussed now, but it's a game changer in the industry, no question. So Liz, you go from problem to product. Is that how it works? And secondly, one of the things that I've also noticed is if there's an obstacle, it doesn't occur to you to back off and not do it. Talk to women about those two things. How do you come up with a new innovative product? And number two, when you hit the obstacles that have come before you, how do you say, well, we're just going to have to find a way around it?
So when it comes to coming up with products, it's a combination of things. It's a combination of what types of products do I need? And asking other riders whose opinions I respect, what products do you need? What products do you use? What do you like about the existing products? What don't you like? What do you feel is missing? So I like to get a lot of information. There's a lot of great products out there and there's good things about many different products. But that doesn't mean that they can't be improved upon. So I like to gather all that information. Then I do a deep dive into the research about the particular body system or the ingredients or the existing products that are out there. What are they made of? How do they work? What are their strengths? What are their weaknesses? And assimilating all that information gives me a really great sense of what type of product I want to make, how I want to make it, how it's going to work, and how it's going to be unique and how it's going to improve upon things that are already out there. So that's sort of the first step. As far as challenges, I can never anticipate the challenges that we are going to face. And sometimes I think it's going to be smooth sailing. and then it's not. And other times I think something's going to be difficult, but it ends up being easy. And with every obstacle, there's not like a one size fits all solution. The only thing that the various obstacles have in common is that it requires having to be creative in order to figure out how to overcome it. So in some cases, when it comes to formulating, so there's a new product that will be coming out that, you know, we haven't told people about yet. It's completely unique in the horse industry, and it required doing a lot of scientific formulation. It took about a year to get it right. And I had to bring in experts in food science, chemistry, all kinds of different things in order to truly help me figure out the best way to formulate a product. So in that case, the solution involved having to work with experts in food science and in a different industry. In some cases, when it comes to scaling production of a product, the obstacle might be, how are we going to make enough volume of this product? And the solution is, I have to work with engineers to create the right type of custom machinery. So whenever there's an obstacle, it's just figure out who or what is the expert in a particular area, and how can I learn from them and adapt some of those strategies to what we're doing.
Really great answer. Really great answer. Earlier in the program, you said something that I thought was important. You said, when you were talking about ulcers and you were researching for the first product, and you said, well, there's a lot of information out there about human ulcers and animal ulcers. So I was able to look at both of it. Do you always look at the human side of any product you're creating as well?
I do, because there is, in general, much more information available when it comes to health issues faced by people. Now, even though the anatomy of a person and a horse is different, there are a lot of similarities when it comes to causes of underlying health issues. Maybe they would be addressed differently. Like for horses, they're designed to forage 18 hours a day. If we ate 18 hours a day, we would have to roll ourselves down the street.
Well, I can eat 12 hours a day.
Well, then you don't have to be rolled. If you ate 8 hours, it might be different.
Okay.
So there are obviously differences, but there is a lot that can be learned from the human science of things, because there are so many more studies that have been done. And so to the extent that you can learn from that and then apply that to the research that's been done in horses, I think it's very beneficial.
Very good. Very good. Okay, we're going to move to one last item, and then we're going to wrap up with the questions we always ask women at the end of these podcasts. But Kim, you're doing a lot of synergistic partnerships with products that have an equine attachment to them, but have nothing to do with nutrition or anything else. We call that synergistic connections, and I love it. Just talk about one of them. And you had a shoot last week, right? Didn't you have a shoot that was pretty funny? I think Liz was in the shoot. I believe, Liz, we saw you as your horse was knocking over those fabulous products that Kim had put together. Kim, how do you pick a synergistic partner, and how did it work?
That's a good question. So I guess there are a number of things that I look at when I decide who I want to work with. For the most part, I really want to work with people that are creative and want to have fun. To me, I view it as just playing with other people. Who wants to get on a call and talk about ways we can do some co-branding? Do we have a lot of customers in common? So horse people might like horse-related houseware, or they might like horse-related fashion. And those are all areas that I would look to see if we have mutual customers. And if we do have mutual customers, I'm happy to reach out to those people and pitch to them a way that we could work together that would be fun for our audience to see. Personally, I always really love to see two brands I enjoy, to see them working together. So it's fun on our end to partner with people to bring that to our customers. As for the actual photo shoots and the marketing behind it, Liz is very agreeable. I put together sometimes pretty insane decks of shot lists and props, and I order everything. I have it sent to the warehouse. Liz follows the instructions for the shoot. The horses do not always follow the instructions for the shoot, and that's sometimes where the magic ends up happening.
Liz, one of the shoots I think you're doing or is going to be done is with a pair of Jodhpur pants, right? That apparently you fabulous in that every, what is that?
Okay. So I never say I look fabulous in anything, but I look fabulous in these pants. These pants are spectacular.
Okay, you can say who makes them. Let's put a little plug in.
Thank you, Botori.
Botori, camo breeches. They were amazing. They are so flattering and they're so comfortable and they just look great in photos. And so we were doing a photo shoot with some of our tidbits treats, but the pants were really the highlight. Of course, we had two different horses that we were working with. One was much more compliant than the other. My horse was just super focused on getting in that tidbit bag.
Well, the other thing is that these pants apparently have this mesh pocket or something. So they're putting the tidbits in. So they incorporated the products to each other, which I think is a good lesson for any woman who's doing any marketing, is if there's a synergistic connection, you can incorporate the products and everybody wins. So the thing I want to leave you with is building a business can be really fun. And if there's mutual respect, et cetera, I think we can hear this is a hugely successful business. If you're not interested in horses, go look at Equine Elixirs anyway, just to watch how they are evolving and how they're rolling everything out. It's just exceptional. And if you know someone who's into horses, be sure and tune them into it, because everything they do is filled with excellence. And a new mantra for us at Blue Shoe is we're looking for excellence, not perfection, which I think enables us to get a lot further for both ourselves and our clients. So thank you. But we got a couple questions at the end. Okay, if you're home alone and you're going to have dinner and no one's going to see what you're having, what's dinner?
Mac and cheese.
Oh, no. Really? Wait, Stouffer's or in a box or homemade?
Any kind of mac and cheese is the best kind of mac and cheese.
Okay, what about you, Liz?
Lucky Charms.
Really? With milk or without?
With? Who has dry Lucky Charm?
I don't know. Have you heard about this other women-owned business in New York? And the kind of ice cream she makes is cereal milk. Like, so she'll do Lucky Charms, and then she'll take the milk that the Lucky Charms has been sitting in, and she makes ice cream. It is taking off around New York City like crazy. The name of the company is Milk Bar, another woman-owned business everybody should take a look at if they get a minute. Okay, is there a movie that represents the way you feel about your life?
A tough one, because neither Kim nor I are huge movie people.
She said the same thing this morning when I told her this question was going to be on the table.
Oh, really?
It's okay. Exactly what I said. I was like, I'm not a movie.
Can that be our answer? Because for both of us.
Well, by the way, your answer can be anything you want it to be. It doesn't have. Okay, but then I should tell you that Liz should for sure watch International Velvet with Tatum O'Neill, 1976. Don't miss it.
Okay.
She's looking at me. Okay, what about a book? Do you read books?
I mean, we read more books than we watch movies, but still, it's not a long list.
We mostly work.
By the way, I don't have a book that represents who I am. But and also, when I ask people, are you reading self-help books or how many have you read in your life or whatever, which is an interesting statistic for people, it's like, okay, somebody said, oh, I've read, I think, 40 books, self-help books. And I said, well, which one stands out? And it took them about 3 minutes to pick one. You know, it's like you can sort of get in or out. So we'll skip around that. All right. Well, thank you, ladies, for spending this time with us today. And again, an inspirational company to look at, not just about the products that you're presenting, but also the way that you run the company. We look forward to seeing where you go, and we'll check in with you guys later.
Thank you for having us.